Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, was this the wrong year for Lakers fans to relish in the Clippers being eliminated from the playoffs before they even started? That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how you get your podcast, where you get your podcast, we always have fresh stuff up for you. And if you subscribe to the Locked On Lakers YouTube page, you get it a little faster, a couple hours at least, usually earlier than the audio. So that, Andy, is a great way to get this early. And yeah, who can wait for more exciting Lakers content? Certainly not.
Yeah, me. Speaking of the YouTube page community, and actually there's a lot of commentary that's actually going to be guiding today's show. So make sure that if you want to react, that you leave a comment, because we often do use you guys to help guide what we're going to talk about, because we want to make sure that we're getting into things that you're actually interested in. But really quick, want to give a shout out to Roland, who left a totally unrelated but extremely important comment in the midst of the reaction to Monday's show, saying props for the Ike book, referencing Fishing on the Edge, the autobiography of Mike Iaconelli, the Dennis Rodman of bass fishing, that Brian and I co-wrote his 2005 autobiography. We mentioned it on a show a couple weeks ago. Roland purchased it. Reading it now, he said, entertaining read. So thank you, Roland. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm always excited to see a spike in sales of the book.
Every little bit counts.
Yeah. So thank you, Roland. So yeah, as Andy mentioned, we're going to be getting into a lot of stuff from the Locked On Lakers YouTube page, including some stuff that we had going on over the weekend on Twitter regarding reaction to the Clippers losing the play-in and some of the reaction to Lakers fans. A couple of people left comments about that on the page. But Andy, let's start here. We talked a lot on Monday's show, about ESPN's 25 players, best players under 25 in the league, and how there were no Lakers on that list. Not that you'd expect it to there to be. A little point of clarification, like this list was based both on production and on potential. Mm-hmm. Still wouldn't expect any Lakers to be on it, but we spent most of our time talking about Talen Horton Tucker and Austin Reeves as the players you would look at. We did not actually mention Malik Monk, and a few people, one or two, mentioned Malik in the comments section, like, hey, what about, and wouldn't he be close, and all that kind of stuff. I have my opinion about whether or not Monk would be close to a list like this. What is yours?
No, I don't actually think he would be. I mean, Malik Monk had a really good season for the Lakers, and I think he put himself in a position to get a solid payday after playing on a league minimum, whether from another team around the league or the best he can possibly squeeze out of the Lakers, which in and of itself is an issue that we're going to get into. But when you look at the names on this list that came out with ESPN, Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, Ja Morant, Jalen Green, Miles Bridges, LaMelo Ball, Scotty Barnes, Brandon Ingram, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Bam Adebayo, just to name about half the list. Malik Monk is not anywhere on that level. He just isn't. That's not an insult to Malik Monk. That doesn't mean that he's a scrub or anything like that. But in terms of the top 25 around the league, under 25, based on a combination of production and what you think their ceiling is, no, man, Malik is not there. He's got no business being there.
I'll tell you better, Andy. I don't have a full accounting of every player in the league who's under 25.
Yeah, this has got Doncic in there. This has got Jason Tatum.
Including some guys. Anfernee Simons, who had a monster second half of the season for Portland this year until he was deemed too good and had to sit down. It's Portland. It was counter what Portland was trying to do. Robert Williams, who was excellent for Boston this year, the Time Lord. OG Anunoby, Kevin Porter, Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, I would argue, has been a more productive pro already than Malik Monk. Gary Trent Jr., Lonzo Ball didn't make that list. You could argue Jonathan Kuminga on Golden State, just on his rookie season, might already be a guy who you'd put above there. You know, Josh Giddey, you know, was a kind of a low level triple double guy in Oklahoma City this year as a rookie. And I like you say this not to demean Malik Monk, who's a good player. The larger point here, and really the larger point for the Lakers, is that there are a lot of these guys around. Like, it is hard to make it. Like, most people wouldn't think about Gary Trent Jr. as somebody who could be, you know, in the top 40 players who are under, you know, under 25 years old. But he certainly would be. And he's not a star, but he's kind of like the version of what Malik, like, you kind of picture what Malik could be. Like, really good scorer. Trent, at the very least, is a steals machine. You're probably better defensively than Monk is.
He is better defensively than Monk is.
And all that kind of stuff. It's like, these are really hard barriers to crack into. And what this is like, you know, we talked a little bit on Monday's show just about like impressions of watching the playoffs. The Lakers aren't anywhere close to most of these teams. It's not like, you know, you can look at it like we did, like I did certainly last year, and say, you know, despite everything, if Anthony Davis is healthy, I think that team is talented enough. I think they get out of that first round, and then you see what happens. These Lakers, if everybody was healthy, obviously have a better chance, and I think probably make the play-in and all that kind of stuff. But they're nowhere near as good as, you know, the best teams that we were watching over the weekend. They're just not.
You know what's really funny, too, in thinking about this even more, and it was something that didn't immediately occur to me during Monday's show, but in thinking more about this with Malik and, you know, to some degree, the discussion we had about Talen Horton-Tucker and Austin Reeves, this rookie class for the NBA this year was spectacular.
Like, really,
this was a really strong rookie class. And for all of the issues that the NBA is dealing with right now, that, you know, in terms of either attendance or ratings, and some of this is obviously affected by the pandemic, some of this is affected by the different ways now that we take in television, that we take in content in general, take in sports. There's like a lot of different things converging at once, and the NBA is dealing with it. There are questions about whether, you know, the league has become more about the players than the actual game, more about the, you know, off the court drama and the storylines and, you know, off-season trades than the game itself. But all of that aside, the irony of all of this is when you look at young talent in this league right now, players like we were talking about, under 25, under 23, the league is in a phenomenal place right now, which really speaks to the position the Lakers are in, having so little young talent, because that means it's not just the Lakers being in a bad place when it comes to trying to win right now, because their immediate future has a lot of question marks.
Problems. Yes.
Right. What they're going to be doing, trying to maximize however big you think this window is with LeBron and AD. What comes ahead for them? And, you know, with all this young talent around the league that will be developing, the Lakers are going to be behind that eight ball too, because so much young talent at once, and the Lakers have access to so little.
To none of it. They don't have any of it now, and they don't have easy access to any of it going forward. And that brings up a point that's something that, again, kind of I kind of went back and looked at that list again when we were done talking about it, and there was one number that stuck out to me where I was like, oh, wow. And it put another kind of spin on where the Lakers are going and the choices they have to make. And I'll tell you what that number is next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Prize Picks. Okay, Laker fans, you guys have been hearing me tell you about Prize Picks for months. And if you've not signed up yet, you are missing out because this is daily fantasy made easy. You're going to love this app. And in particular, you're going to love the mixed sport pick'ems. And for a limited time, here's a no-brainer of an offer for all our users to just give this thing a whirl. You get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, like choose Kyrie. Great bet at the moment. You know, you're going to end up paying that one off, but you got to use the code NBA. Okay. Exclusive offer for Locked On fans, but you got to use the code NBA. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. More NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer superstar players as well as bench players that only get a handful of minutes per game. And you can do mixed sports entries. Like you could do the over on Chris Paul assists with the under on Cody Bellinger home runs for a particular game or season or whatever. You can just mix it up, keep it fun. It's a great app, award-winning. You can get it in the Apple Store or Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really easy, safe, fast withdrawal. So again, prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NBA or go to the App Store, download the app. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports info. You find the latest sports development, league news, reviews, all this stuff on the basketball playoffs, the start of Major League Baseball. The NHL playoffs are coming along real quick. My kids are big in the MLS, Andy. You can bet on that. You can find lines on fun props like who's going to be the next Lakers coach, something that we're going to tease over the course of the week and start getting to that conversation, but might have a little bit on today's show. So BetOnline, your continuing source for all your wagering information from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head over to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. And that is everything that you're going to need for all your betting stuff as you go into the spring. And there's a ton to bet on. BetOnline, where the games start. 24, Andy, is my number. It has nothing to do with Kobe Bryant. Obviously, it's a list of the 25 best players under 25. The number that stuck out to me was 24, and it was assigned to a particular player, and that player does have Laker ties. Can you guess what it is?
No.
Brandon Ingram's age.
Oh, wow.
I saw that, and I was like, oh, my God, he's still only 24.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense for like Andrew Bynum is like 32.
I know.
These guys start so young.
And Ingram was young for his age, even as a young guy entering the league.
Right. So, like Larry Nance is 29. Julius Randle is 27, which is obviously young by human standards, but not like baby for the league. Brandon Ingram is still 24 years old. And obviously a really good player, had a nice game, to get the Pelicans into the play-in. You know, they're not going to win against Phoenix, but it's kind of cool to see him on that
into stage. The playoffs, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In the play-in, from the play-in to the playoffs. And it's cool to see BI on that stage. It reminds you that, like, it took him 3 or 4 seasons to hit, and he's still, theoretically ascending, and he's still not a first team all NBA guy, but he's a solid all-star going forward at this point. The Lakers, we just mentioned, don't have access to talent, that kind of young talent. The only way to get it would be to tear it all down, trade Anthony Davis to try to get some of the draft capital back. Ostensibly at that point, you trade LeBron James because he's not going to be around here for a rebuild. And you get whatever you could get for LeBron James in a trade, which is a probably a week's worth of completely fascinating podcast episodes in and of itself. And then you get the draft capital back. But that's a reminder that once you start on that treadmill, you're talking 4, 5, 6 years to where you can get Lonzo Ball, who is now kind of ascending to a really solid player. Brandon Ingram is an all-star. And like all these guys, there's no fast way, I think, to kind of get this done. And unless the Lakers can really thread the needle and rebuild it for next year, it's almost like we're looking at some kind of time-intensive process here. And the Lakers just have to choose which one it's going to be.
I mean, this is the point I've made a lot when I've raised the question about the wisdom of actually extending LeBron. You know, it's something that the Lakers reportedly remain very interested in. It's something that LeBron knows they're interested in because around the deadline, when he clearly wanted stuff to happen, didn't have it happen, and then during the All-Star break, dropped all these hints about potentially being willing to leave and then had to walk all that back when the reaction to it, whether from Laker fans or from media, let's just say, was the F, dude. Like, we know why we're in this mess, and it is in part because of you. But there are obviously a lot of different reasons you would want to stay in business with LeBron. Some of them are basketball. He remains extremely good when he is healthy and available. There's also the financial, because he remains somebody that will put asses in seats, and that is really important for the Lakers between the pandemic and the fact that they have not had an extended playoff run in damn near a decade that actually had fans in seats.
Correct.
Because, you know, they won a championship in the bubble that had no fans. 2021 had fans, but not that many games. 2013, only two games because they got swept in the first round, and then you're entering into a decade. So there's a lot.
We can also note the mood in the building for those two games in 2013 was not good.
Yeah, but the people still paid.
They were there. They were there and they paid, but it was not good.
Those credit cards went through. I mean, that's a totally separate issue.
You don't get more money if you're the organization if people are happy to be spending their money.
I mean, not unless you feel good about it. Not unless you pass a plate around Staples or something like that. But like that, all that is a separate issue. But in terms of the practical wisdom of continuing this forward with LeBron, part of what makes it impractical is the idea of, if you're going to keep this going with LeBron, you have to remain in win now mode for it to make any sense at all, which means leveraging the remaining few assets that you have. And you have to question whether or not that actually makes sense, because one way or another, the rebuild is coming. Would you rather do a rebuild with the three or four remaining assets that you have, however good you think they are, versus literally none of them?
Well, that's the thing. It's like the choice they have, because if you blow it up, you are eliminating the possibility, really, practically, of title contention for two or three or four seasons, you know, between draft picks and cap space and whatever. Maybe you could put
it together. The good news is Laker fans won't know the difference.
Hey, now.
I'm just saying of late. But
hey, now. Hey, now.
2020.
Hey, now. The flip side is, it is certainly, it is a difficult needle for the Lakers to thread. There's no question. This offseason is going to be a tricky one to try to get this thing back to where people want it to be. But it is possible. Like, if you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and you have some potential cap space to work with in a couple of years, whatever it might be, it is possible to make this work. But there's also a very high risk of getting to the end of it, the 3 years where you've traded away potentially 2027 and 2029, the draft picks, not the years. You've traded THT. Maybe you've thrown Austin Reeves in something. You've tried really hard. And, you know, there's a good chance you end up at the end of that without a whole lot to show for it. And I'm not one of these people who says, like, if they make the conference finals or something like that, it was a waste. Like, you know, if you put together a couple, like, legit deep playoff runs that don't end up in titles, okay, that's fine.
Only one team gets to win, and it's not always going to be the Lakers. But I'm just saying, in terms of the baseline of whether you can legitimately judge,
that means it was worth it. You were close enough.
Right. Yeah. If you want to say it wasn't successful because the goal was a championship, fine. But if you get to the Western Conference Finals and lose, the plan wasn't bad. You can't fairly say that was a bad plan because you didn't win the whole thing.
And so, like, you know, that is what the Lakers have to figure out. And what is so tricky is stepping back and making a genuinely honest assessment of the players that they have, and Anthony Davis and LeBron James, an honest assessment of what the market is. If they decide to kind of peek behind the little trade curtain for these two guys, because, you know, trading two franchise dudes is a deal. Like, that is not something you make lightly, Andy, even with your reservations that you have about LeBron's health and AD's health. And
absolutely.
Whatever. These dudes are really effing hard to find.
No, it is by definition franchise altering.
Right. And you have, you know, if let's say you end up with three top five picks in a row, again, the the chances of finding people who are as good as Anthony Davis and LeBron James are pretty slim. I don't envy the position they're in. It requires a tremendous amount of self-reflection and risk assessment and all of that. And it all takes place in an environment where everybody is mad at you. Everybody is mad at you. All the people are angry.
The good news is, if I've gotten any real common vibe with Rob Pelinka and Kurt Rambis, Jeannie Buss, the whole front office, it's that introspection. That's their specialty.
It is.
So I feel good about this moving forward.
So let's turn to the note that we had about the clips here. We'll do that.
It involves Brandon Ingram, by the way.
It does.
Who you talked about earlier. So there
it
you
does.
Go.
So there it is. Look at the way we're threading this stuff through. This is a really well thought out program here, people.
Yeah,
this
is.
Isn't just slapped together like, you know, stuff that's slapped together. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought
just couldn't think of anything.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models out there, it is impossible to stock all the parts you would need in a traditional chain storefront. And why would you spend 30%, 50%, 100% more on the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership anyway, dummy? You can get it for way less at rockauto.com. For example, Honda Odyssey fuel pump. That's the car, by the way, that Brian drives, the Honda Odyssey, when he takes the whole family around. $353 from a chain store. If that sounds like a lot, it's because it is, because you can get it for $216 from Rock Auto. Mm-hmm. They are a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. So whether it's for a classic like a Honda Odyssey or a daily driver, get everything
like the Honda Odyssey.
Yes, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for the car or your truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
So, Andy, I couldn't think of anything that was sort of felt slapped together, but I've come up with one during the break.
Hmm.
Is It Cake on Netflix? My oldest son loves the show Is It Cake?
Yeah, I've seen it.
And it is fun. I'm not going to say it's not fun. It does feel a little bit just
explain
sort of
the premise
thrown
if
together.
People have not seen it.
The premise of Is It Cake, if you haven't seen it, is the title. You know, we saw that like wave of Twitter videos and stuff and Instagram videos where people would show hyper realistic things and slice into it, and it was actually cake. And so this is that in game show form. They have hyper realistic cake bakers and a panel of judges who have to stand there and basically look at the stuff and say, is that cake? Fun show, does feel a little slapdash in terms of how it was thrown together. But we enjoy it. Before we get to the Clippers thing, we're chasing Dan Wakey of the LA Times, Kevin Arnovitz of ESPN, a couple guys who both have written a lot about where the Lakers are going in terms of the coaching thing. More reports this from Dan, and we'll try to talk to it. Some of the names, Andy, that are starting to pop up are interesting. Scott Brooks, who was rumored perhaps to be able to join the Lakers staff before last year, is kind of a Russ whisper. Didn't happen. Alex Jensen is a new name. He is an assistant in Utah right now. That goes along with guys like Steve Clifford and Terry Stotts and Darvin Ham and Mark Jackson. And all of that.
Darvin Ham, once an assistant for the Lakers
several
years ago.
Knows what it's like to be a Laker.
He's a good guy. We both like Darvin.
Excellent. And a guy whose name pops up regularly in these conversations.
He has, to put it generously, paid his dues.
There's no question like these. This is a very preliminary list. So I'm not saying this is on the Lakers. This happens every time. Agents have a lot to do with this. So they want their guy's name out on the list so people can talk about him. And if the Lakers don't hire him, somebody else will. The through line to the names that are currently bandied about, Andy, is that there is no through line. So I'm very curious as to what the list is finally going to look like when we actually do get to a place where the Lakers are clearly driving the interest in these players as opposed to speculation.
You know, it's funny. I mean, because you've heard me say a lot for years, a big criticism of the Lakers when it comes to coaching is that they have seemingly no idea what they want. And It makes it feel like they don't care that much about the coach unless it's like Phil Jackson. Maybe that just is their ethos.
The owner was sweet on at the time.
Yeah. I mean, that was Dr. Buss. Not sweet on Phil Jackson.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, but you start getting into
it would have been really awkward, though.
Right.
Super duper awkward.
Into strange territory when Dr. Buss's daughter decidedly was sweet on Phil Jackson.
That's really what I meant. I didn't mean Dr. Buss, but I have my timeline wrong.
Yeah, and sometimes the timeline matters.
But if they were both sweet on him, it would have been really awkward is my big point there.
Yes. you think the front office was dysfunctional now?
Well, but just bus family dynamics have always been very complicated.
Yeah. I mean, you think it was weird when Jim and Jeannie wouldn't speak. This takes it to a different level. But maybe that just
Dad
is the ethos.
Stole my like, boyfriend next on Jerry Springer.
We don't care. Like, that's just the ethos. We don't care. Like, that's what they're looking for is... we have to hire someone. It's considered too weird to not have a coach at all. That's their ethos.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Like there's nothing that, like, if you say Alex Jensen, who is an interesting name, just, you know, one of these up and coming, not really up and coming in the sense he's a long time assistant, but it would be a new first time coach versus Mark Jackson. Those two names have nothing, no relation to each other. So we'll see what happens when the actual list starts to get firmed up. Andy, you've had some interesting correspondence with Lakers fans through the Clippers loss in the play-in and some of the post-game commentary from that, where Lakers fans coming at you.
Yeah, they were
on our Twitter feed at Cam Brothers.
Right. And Sal HM on our YouTube page, the Locked On Lakers YouTube page, left a comment. I'm condensing it, but kind of unrelated, but appreciate the discourse made on Twitter after the Clippers got eliminated over the weekend. Don't know if you talked about it here, but would be neat to hear any deeper thoughts you had about the topic. Thanks, Sal. And we'll get to that. During that game between the Clippers and the Pelicans, where the Pelicans advanced, Brandon Ingram and Larry Nance Jr., former Laker kids, were both playing fantastic in this game. Ingram had 36-6. Nance had 14-6-4 off the bench. So I tweeted out, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek, Ingram and Nance balling out in this game is kind of like the Lakers making the play-in, kind of. Mm-hmm. And somebody responded to me, anything better than the Clippers losing with 4! To which I responded to him, again, at Cam Brothers, honestly, this is the wrong year for Schadenfreude from Laker fans towards the Clippers. That team played its ass off all season and got the absolute most out of itself while missing their stars. They were everything the Lakers refused to even try to be. And this tweet that I didn't think was that big of a deal, I thought it was just a really obvious point, really blew up and got a lot of reaction.
Andy, nothing is obvious when it comes to defending the Clippers on what is ostensibly a Lakers forward Twitter feed.
Right. But what's interesting about this, and we'll get into this, is I didn't even see it so much as defending the Clips as just pointing out the obvious, but got a lot of different reactions, like either whatever, Clips going to clip. Here's some verbatim reactions. That's a funny part, fellas. They played their ass off. The Lakers had the worst year ever. Same result seeing Cancun. True, but it's still fun to see them bleep the bed when it matters the most. The return of Pandemic P was a nice touch as well because Paul George tested positive, wasn't able to play in this game. Or some tweet that basically means Lakers exceptionalism or some gif with a person saying no one cares, which you only respond to when you do care, geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I found this stuff embarrassing from a Laker fan perspective. Like it's missing the point that I was making. And it is the total opposite of acting like you've been there before. It's like, it's actually acting like you've never been there. Because when you have been there, you wouldn't feel so insecure to punch down. But you'd also like recognize that there is an effort and pride baseline for success. And I know this because I've seen championship runs up close. You and I have covered them a few of them. But also, I know Laker fans know this because y'all complained about the lack of effort all season. And it's like, I'm not asking in this tweet or now for anybody to feel sorry for the Clippers. No, not saying it was a moral victory losing in that play-in, because it wasn't. The Clippers had a disappointing season in terms of what they're built to do and their own expectations. They have a lot of questions very similar to the Lakers in terms of being built around two superstars with availability issues. And if you hate Clipper fans because you feel like they talk a lot of unearned noise and revel in Laker failures, fine, great. I wouldn't ask you to feel bad for Clipper fans at all. I'm not asking you to feel bad for anybody, but if you enjoy seeing Clipper fans disappointed, that is all good, people. Like, that's part of rivalries and what makes rivalries fun. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the details and context of a season. And the Clippers had a season that was disappointing, but it was also a season that they had nothing to be ashamed of. Like, it was a season where they could be proud of the way they handled it, even if it doesn't change any of their problems. No,
the Lakers had the entire season was the Lakers being followed by that woman from Game of Thrones ringing the bell going, shame, yes. Ding, yes. Ding, ding, shame, like, ding, ding, ding.
The Clippers made the absolute best of their situation, and it is the opposite of what the Lakers did this year, who I know, because I've heard you all say it, should have been embarrassed by this season. And if you can't see the difference there, and if you can't even contextualize respect for what the team did this year, even if you still want to clown the franchise on balance, even if you want to clown all of their stupid fans, like, man, again, that is truly acting like you've never been there before, mm-hmm. At least to me.
Interesting side note, the woman who played the shame bell ringer is the team owner on Ted Lasso.
Yes, I just recently heard that. I did not watch Game of Thrones or Ted Lasso, so I truly have no reference point for this lady. But somebody, I was doing Mason in Ireland.
Same woman.
I was doing Mason in Ireland, and that happened to come up a few weeks ago.
This is a season where if you're a Lakers fan, you just quietly seed and fade into the background. You're Homer Simpson moving back into the bush, into the hedge. You just go and like say to yourself, we'll be back. We'll be like, we're going to fix it. Where it's like, you know, and you can crank this bad boy back up in October, you mm-hmm. know, like fire up the machines again. But for right now, I would just, because there's nothing, like you said, it's not so much the team. Like last year, you could be like, ah, we got hurt. We could, yeah, blah, blah, blah. This year, there's nothing you can point. Like, there's nothing to be proud of, Russ, you know, to use the line from Vacation and also from this year's team.
Well played.
Yeah, thank you. So, anyway, we're still chasing down guys like Kevin Arnovitz, Dan Wakey. We did see some other suggestions on the YouTube page for people you guys would like to see, and we'll certainly start making a list and try to get some of those people as well. One of them was for a guy named Anthony Irwin. Not sure I know who that is. Unfamiliar with his work. But we'll see about getting as many of these people on as we can going forward. Continue to leave suggestions of people you'd like to hear from, and we will keep breaking down the big issues going into the offseason for the rest of the week on Locked On Lakers.